in Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is. It's 3:22 in the afternoon. And Joe, hello to you. I hope you had a peaceful weekend. What's going on over there today?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv, where it has been peaceful. I mean, there's a heaviness, I think, on everyone's mind about, one, perhaps some kind of distant nuclear threat. But then, you know, what with this Russian mobilization, what will be the Kremlin's next steps? And we're already seeing a little bit of a change in the Russian tactics. Over the weekend, including last night, Russia attacked the Odessa region as well as other places with these kamikaze drones that come from Iran. And these are really scary things. They're hard to shoot down. And they actually were able to hit a Ukrainian military headquarters on Friday in the center of Odessa. And so this is a new concern, and Ukraine is figuring out how can air defense be tweaked to stop these menacing machines. And I think this is also an occasion to recall. I mean, it's interesting that these drones, combat drones, are coming from Iran, where right now Iranian women are bravely fighting for their freedom, for their freedom, in the streets of probably every major city in Iran. And they've been burning the niqabs and the burqas because a woman was killed just a couple of weeks ago in Iran for refusing to wear her clothes properly. And so what we see in Iran is people, especially the women, taking charge of their democracy and saying no more of this dictatorship. And it's not so different in a way from what the Ukrainians did in 2014. They stayed in the streets and some of them were killed, until the dictator and the pro-Putin regime fled. And so we have, you know, free people people trying to break free and to hold on to that idea of liberty. And then you have the tyrannical regimes like Tehran and the Kremlin, which are united. And this is why I think not only Ukrainians, but many others around the world are urging the Russians that they need to be brave. You know, they need to resist their own regime. And this is the prime minister of Estonia, which, you know, was a country that suffered under Soviet tyranny for many decades. She said over the weekend that she will not permit Russians who are trying to flee the draft to enter her country. She said each citizen in any country is responsible for the actions of your country. You must stay. You must speak out. Really, the idea is that, you know, and I think this would apply to anyone. If you're not happy with your regime, if you feel oppressed, you need to find a way to organize and to make democracy work. And that's the clear message to Russians right now.
More than 2,000 have been detained across Russia since Putin's partial mobilization announcement. How much pressure do you think that's putting on Putin? And within Russia, what are the people hearing, do you think?
You know, it's hard to know. And surely, you know, there are dissidents in Russia. A lot of them are living in exile now. You know, using VPNs and tricks in the internet, any Russian with access to the internet can find out what's going on in the world. So really, I think it's just a matter of awakening the society that this is a problem. And you know, it's interesting. Dostoevsky had the famous novel Crime and Punishment. And the word for crime in Russian is very different from the word for crime in Ukrainian. In Ukrainian, it's zloznist, which means evil, something like just truly heinous. In Russian, and I won't attempt to pronounce the Russian word, but it means stepping over the line. So the definition for evil for a Russian is breaking, not doing what the Tsar or the Putin regime or what the government has told you to do. For them, that is the most unimaginable evil. But whereas for a Ukrainian, I think for many people around the world, the idea, especially for Ukrainians, the idea of crime is Ukrainians love to step over the lines. They break little rules all the time. But the thing that is truly abhorrent is a crime, is something evil, like taking an innocent life. And so it's a very different mindset. So the Russians, they've been living under tyranny for so many centuries, really, that for them, the only thing that's evil is to disobey your regime. And this is going to take a lot of work to change that mentality. And maybe we can see some awakening here. But so far, it's hard to know. If there really will be a change of Russian culture.
Joseph, you'll be happy to hear that the crowds were cheering for the Kyiv City Ballet at the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago over the weekend. And apparently it was a packed house and quite a performance.
Oh, fantastic. And I mean, that is, you know, as we've talked about so often, it's important to have culture and joy in wartime. And so I'm glad that they were able to share that with the people of Chicago and to introduce Ukrainian culture to people in America. And this is, you know, this is the idea, you know, freedom. It means being able to create, to make art, to build your life how you want to do it. And I think that one of the best ways to counter the destruction is to keep creating and to keep making great things. So I'm happy to hear that.
And we're grateful for your reporting, Joe, because not only do you bring us scenes of war and horror, which we need to know about, but also you've been great about describing the wonderful culture of Ukraine. So hope you get some peace again for a while here, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.